Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
When I was a kid, I'd take a trip every summer down to Mississippi, see my granny and her antebellum world. I'd run barefooted all day long, climbing trees free as a song, and one day I happened to catch myself a squirrel. Well, I shoved him down in an old shoebox, punched a couple of holes in the top, and when Sunday came, I snuck him into church. Sitting way back on the very last pew, I'd have shown to my good buddy Hugh when the squirrel got loose and went totally berserk. Happened next is hard to tell. Some thought it was heaven, others thought it was hell, but the fact that something was among us was plain to see. As the choir sang, "I surrender all," the squirrel run up Harv Newman's overalls. Harv jumped to his feet and said, "Something got a hold on me." The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Harv hit the aisle dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, but Harv just thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. And as he knelt to plead and beg, the squirrel run out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. Right on down to that amen pew where sat Sister Bertha Better Than You, who was watching all of this scene with sadistic glee. You should have seen the look in her eye when the squirrel crossed her garter and jumped her thigh. She leaped to her feet and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in the sleepy little town of Pascagoula. As the squirrel made laps inside her dress, she began to cry and then to confess to sins that would make a sailor blush with shame. She talked of gossip and church dissension, but the thing that got the most attention is when she told about her love life. And then she started naming names the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. Well, 7 deacons and the pastor got saved, and $25,000 got raised, and 50 volunteered for missions in the Congo on the spot. And even without an invitation, there was at least 500 rededications, and we all got rebaptized, whether we needed it or not. Well, you've heard the Bible stories, I guess, how he parted the waters for Moses to pass, the miracles that God has wrought in this old world. But the one I'll remember to my dying day is how we got that church back on a narrow way with a half-crazed Mississippi squirrel. Say, the day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I know who's got you. Rest here. I know that you've been through an awful storm. I was with you. Don't fear, I'll sit right here beside you, and no harm will befall you. Both know you must soon be on your way again. The path is steep, the way not always clear. I'll wake you when it's time to go, my weary friend. You'll be up again. Rest here, just lay that heavy burden at my feet. I'll never leave you. Rest here, I'll watch all your worries while you sleep, and I will watch you too. I see you've got a wound or two we'll have to tend, but surely nothing time and grace won't heal. So just be still and let me get to work, my friend. You'll be up again. Rest here. You could face your biggest battle yet. I'll fight for you. Rest here. Just gather up your strength. Don't you fret, I'm right beside you. Though testing and temptation lurk along the way, though you may stumble, I've prayed for you. No new struggles seem to grow up every day. I will guard your way. So for today, rest here. Rest here. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 139. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Father, one of the side effects of experiencing your love and grace is laughter, is comedy, is joy. It's all from you, and we're grateful. Thank you that we can be serious and we can goof off in your presence. I know that sounds strange, but it's true. I think of my dad at a Christmas sitting and watching two little grandkids dance around and the joy on his face as they're being silly. Thank you for loving us like that. Bless your word. This is your book. We're your kids. And we need your instruction and your help. Take this on the page. Make it live in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, the Psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. That's a metaphor for your mother's womb, by the way. The depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days, all the days ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. Did you hear that? All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. May God bless the reading of this incredible psalm. You know, it's normal to feel small in this world. Whenever we compare ourselves in size to other things, we're not much. We see a 747 in the sky at 30,000 feet. You see just a little blip on the front end of a line of exhaust. We feel small in this world. And this world will make you feel that way, and people will make you feel that way too, no matter what you experience. People who feel small do their best to make us feel small. I can remember when I was a kid, we would go to Kingsville, Ontario, near Point Pelee in the day to vacation with my dad's friends. Tommy was my dad's dear friend. And some of my scariest memories of both of them being inebriated driving home from a hockey game with my brother and I in the back seat. It's where I learned to pray, okay? That's all I can tell you. Tommy was an interesting guy. But I remember he liked staying up all night when we were at his lodge there on Lake Erie. Beautiful old place that his father, a dentist, had built a generation before. Beautiful old place. He liked to stay up all night long. And I remember one time I stayed up with him. We laid out on the beach, summer night. It was in August, I believe. I was 15 or 16 years old. And it was a perfect, clear night. And there, Kingsville, we're so far away from any big cities. And he said to me, Tommy, if you ever want to feel small, just look up. Look at that. Look at that. You know, he was wrong. Because it's actually the other way. The God who made all of that thinks and plans about us. I mean, you got to turn that around. Tommy wasn't there yet. By the way, he got it eventually as he went through his life. He started attending a little Methodist church in Florida that he finally gave his life to Jesus after all those crazy years. Thank the Lord. But he was wrong about that. We might feel small, but we're really not. You are beyond significant. You are beloved and treasured by God. Now, I know we say that, but it's real. It's true. The one who matters most values you the highest. It's pretty incredible. So Psalm 139 encapsulates this incredible fact. Look at it. First of all is this. You have God's full attention. Okay? You have God's full attention. Do you have parents that neglected you? Did you have parents that argued all the time and the house was crazy and you never got attention from anybody? I want you to know, I'm sorry about your brokenness. I'm sorry about what your past was, but that's not your now, because your now is the God who you have trusted. You have his full and complete attention of the infinite, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God. That's pretty incredible stuff. I remember little Lindsay. She's a sweet little girl. She has special needs. And she was waiting to talk to me one day after church. And I kept looking beyond her and not realizing she was waiting for me. But she was there waiting for me. And she wasn't very tall. And so I was looking beyond, talking to all these other people. When I finally saw her there, I said, "Oh, Lindsay, are you waiting for me?" And she said, "Yes. And I think I'm invisible." She actually thought that. Made me feel real good, I'll tell you. But I didn't make her feel very good by not seeing her. I want you to know you're not invisible to the Lord. You have his full attention. Get this. He knows everything about you. That's both comforting and scary. But I'm telling you, he knows everything about you. Verse 1. Oh Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Man, he knows all about us. Not only does he know everything about you, get this, he surrounds you. He surrounds you. Nothing can get to you that doesn't come through him first. He surrounds you. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for me to attain. He knows all about you. He surrounds you. Here's another one. These things are true no matter where life
leads you. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You see, time and space doesn't matter to God. No matter where you are, this will never change. And I love these statements. We were, a couple of Tuesday nights ago, we went to the Ark in Ann Arbor to hear an incredible young singer, mandolinist with her band, Sierra Hall. Incredible musician. Wonderful young girl. And a wonderful Christian. And in the midst of all of her songs about difficulties of life and heartache and love gone wrong and all those things, she stops in the middle of it all and just with her mandolin plays a song that she had written called On the Wings of the Dawn. And it was Psalm 139. And it was haunting, and it was beautiful. But what made it so haunting and beautiful was that she was singing the Word of God, and it was true. I love it when people sing about the Lord in a bar. If you've never heard Ricky Skaggs, the Bluegrassers show, he goes to play wherever he's asked. And sometimes it's in a bar. And it's like going to church when you go in there. It's amazing. Doesn't affect him. He still does the same stuff. And Sierra, what a gift she has. She sings like Alison Krauss, and she plays like the Jimi Hendrix of the mandolin. Unbelievable. And the song was just so haunting. Notice something in verse 10 here. It says, too. It says, 9 and 10, if I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea. That's a poetic way of saying as far as the east is from the west. Infinity. It doesn't matter where I go, all right? David is using something that we can understand, but he's trying to say it's just infinity. No matter where I go, anywhere possible for me to go, anywhere that I go, even there your hand will guide me. I want you to see something. It doesn't say even there you will see me. He will. But there's more to it. Even there your hand will guide me. Are you in a difficult situation? Are you in the midst of something that you would love to get out of, something you would love to get away from, something that you wish you didn't have to go through? Well, maybe God will remove you from it, or maybe he'll remove the trouble from it. But no matter what he does, in the midst of it all, there his hand will guide you. Do you hear that? You're not alone. You're not alone in this. Even there, his hand will guide me. And something else, your right hand will hold me fast. Right hand is a Hebrew picture of strength. Even there, your great power, the omnipotent, all-powerful one, even there, you will hold me. Do you see that? Jesus said that we're in his hand and in the Father's hand in John chapter 10. The psalmist said the same thing, even there. If I'm as far away into the weirdest thing I can imagine, even there, his hand will hold me. His right hand will hold me. I'll be guided. I look for him. Whatever you're in, whatever's happening in your life, look for him. He's there. Watch for his guiding. He's guiding. You're not alone. I love that. Also, do you know nothing can obscure his view? Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You might be in the darkest place that you've ever been in your life. Maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe you struggle with mental illness. Maybe you've lost people that you love. Maybe they have died and you don't have the answers you wish you had, and you're angry and you're hurt and you're in a very dark place. I want you to know he sees through that darkness to you. Even there, his hand will guide you. It's just so beautiful and so true. So you're pretty big time to God. You have God's full attention. Not only do you have God's full attention, but you have God's full attention for a reason. You have God's full attention because you are his idea. You are his creation. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained or fashioned for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He personally made you. That's an incredible thought. You are a big idea to God, and you are special in that sense. If you remember, in Genesis chapter 1, in the story of creation, in that great song of creation in the beginning of the Bible, there is this incredible statement. God said, "Let us make man, or mankind, in our own likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That is an amazing statement. By the way, just to give you a side note, gender is God's idea, and he creates us to be the gender he chooses us to be. I want to say the confusion over gender in our world today is epidemic, and God created us to be men or women. If God created you to be a woman, you are a woman, even though you might feel like you should be a man. The closer that we get to God, the smoke clears, and we realize his creation, and we can praise the Lord for the way he made us. Our physical makeup makes up our gender. We teach it. By the way, just as race, your race is sacred to God. God created you to be black or white or red or yellow. He created you to be in your tribe. If you are Mexican or English or Russian or Hungarian, I have a friend who's Hungarian. They eat the weirdest stuff. That is a special thing. The book of Revelation recognizes those from every tribe and every nation. Every tribe. You get that? It's okay to be in a tribe. Just love people though, right? It's a good thing. All of that is sacred. So the reason we love people of every race is because every race is a sacred appointment of the living God. Gender is the same way. It is the sacred appointment of God. So that's just a side note. But God created humans in his likeness. We are so different than the rest of creation. He's given us, as we read, dominion over the earth and everything in it. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Okay? It's a good thing that we have dominion over it. And he's given people the ability to communicate inner feelings through language. You want to know one of the great proofs of God's creation of the world? Is that the human race is so different from the rest of creation. We didn't evolve from lower primates. We were created as humans. That's the truth. And the scriptures tell it plainly. By the way, real science tells that story too. Now, presuppositions, preconceived ideas of people who think we did and they try to prove it, that gets wacky. But no, seriously. He created us. The creativity of humans blows me away. Absolutely blows me away. I can remember I was talking to a lady who painted a picture, and it was beautiful. It was a farm scene, a beautiful place, fields and an old homestead, a barn, and it just spoke to me. And I said to her, "That is beautiful. Where did you go to paint that?" Because you know some people go somewhere and they'll paint what they see. She said, "I saw that in my dreams. So I thought I would paint it." That's human. That is somebody who is created in the image of God. The God who creates such profuse variety, that same God has created you, and you have been made like him so that you also are creative. You can't help it. Ed and I were down on West Grand Boulevard in Detroit on Friday. The first place we passed was Henry Ford Hospital. Henry Ford Hospital, what a place. And the creativity that's going on in their research department, the way they helped my dad with his Alzheimer's for some years through a study he was in, their work, their thinking outside the box, they're always looking for cures. It's incredible. The creativity of human beings is amazing what they can do. And then we went a little bit farther down West Grand Boulevard for our real destination, the Motown Museum. We stood in Studio A. Ed was right under the microphone cord in Studio A, where they sang, "I've got sunshine on a cloudy day." Come on. Yeah.
And when it's cold outside, I got the month of May. Come on, that is great stuff. The creativity of those simple people. I'm not saying the people in Detroit are simple. We're all simple. I mean, we're just people. But to be able to go in there and a group of people put it together and make the soundtrack of my life, that is an amazing creative gift. And then the kids that I'm listening to now, their music might not be my taste, but their creativity and what they're communicating, even though it might not be my favorite style of music, what they say goes to my heart. Let me tell you, that kind of communication, that is a gift from God. That's because God is creative. He's made us creative. You are God's idea. So let me clue you in. You don't have to try to be some big shooter, all right? People who feel insecure try to puff themselves up, make themselves bigger. You don't have to try to be a big deal. You are already a big deal. You are already a big deal.
Amen.
It's true. Our lives can make us feel small. Debbie and I, was it yesterday morning when I was folding clothes and you were cooking? It was an exciting day. Exciting, exciting day at the Hampton House. I'm folding clothes because I was told to, okay? And I'm back folding clothes, and Debbie brings back this fry pan. Okay, and she says, look, honey, look, my egg white, it's shaped like the state of Michigan. We live an exciting life on Misty Hill. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, you know, you can kind of feel that way, but in all reality, you're already a big deal, so you can enjoy the little stuff. Let me say, Carlisle sent me a song this week that I'm not going to play, but it's called, get this, Dream Small. Boy, that's backward to the American dream, isn't it? Get this. It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time when the world said he can't afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor in a tiny little church who for years loved the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't bother like you gotta do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. Live well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help. With His great love, a tiny rock can make a giant fall. Dream small. It's visiting a widow down the street or dancing on a Friday night with a friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes in between, because these simple moments change the world. Keep loving, keep serving, keep listening. Keep learning, keep praying, keep hoping, keep seeking, keep searching. Out of all these small things, and watch them grow bigger, the God who does all things makes an ocean from a river. So dream small. Isn't that a different way to put it? We think we've got to do these great big things. Big things are fine, but God has called all of us to do all things. And all those things are important. Mow your neighbor's yard. Pay attention when somebody hurts. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? So dream small. And I love that because you're already a big deal. You don't have to pretend to be a big deal. You are a big deal. We were at the Blowers for an open house. And their little granddaughter, Lydia, was there. And she back then was four, three, something like that. Aaron Bakke chased her around the whole day. Here I come. And she's screaming. And he ran around with her all day. He's like a big kid. He played with her all day. When it was time to go, she came up and she went, "You're not weaving," to Aaron. It was so sweet. She wanted him to move in and stay. He was fun. I'm telling you, all that is so important. Get this, verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You understand? You weren't created for the days. The days were created for you. It's so important. So I've said that you have God's full attention, that you are God's idea. I'm going to give you one more thing. Everything I just said is true. It's absolutely true.
you can trust this. Verse 17 through 18. How precious to me are your thoughts. The idea in there, the original, is your thoughts about me. Okay? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. This is never going to change. And he closes with this statement. When I awake, I am still with you. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the idea is that he is in all three of those realms at the same time. The Lord is in history. He's there. He's here in this moment, and he's there in all of the future, in all of eternity future. I can't get my brain around that, but the Bible tells us that's his nature. That's how he is, okay? So when we're talking about the thoughts about me here, we're talking about the future that we're all worried about. We all make plans. We all worry, what happens if this happens? What if that happens? In all reality, he's already there. And it's the idea of when I wake up in the future, when I awake, I'll still be with you. He's never going to let you go. He is right now standing in all of these dimensions, and his thoughts are about you. His plans are about you. Listen, you might feel small today, but you're not. You're a big deal to him. Trust it. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand up. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know the struggles of our lives. You know those within the sound of my voice that are struggling. I ask that you would lift us and help us to see this incredible truth that you've proven to be true by your own death on a cross and resurrection from a grave. We cling to you. We thank you that nothing will change the fact of you holding us and never letting us go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.